Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, right to the phones. Sharon Moore, year 1, 7-5, not good enough. But they did beat Ohio State, did land the number one recruit, quarterback, key addition to this offense that they sorely lacked, and then, of course, the decision to fire their offensive coordinator. Where are you at with Sharon Moore? Let's get to Will in Chesterfield. Will, good morning.
Good morning. Here's a name that not too many people are bringing up, but what about Mike Locksley from Maryland? I think he may be jobless after this year, and he's got the experience from Alabama. Great play caller, good 50-50 run pass.
Well, great play caller and great recruiter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to tap into, you know, that DMV area where, you know, he's currently at, he's been able to attract a lot of that talent to Maryland. I don't know that Maryland actually moves on from Mike Locksley. I'm not sure how much better Maryland believes they can be without Mike Locksley. And so that, I mean, is his seat hot? I mean,
yes, it should be.
It should be, but.
Yeah, it's worth a phone call. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, they went 1-8 this season in the Big Ten. Maryland did. The only team worse than them was Purdue, who didn't beat anybody in Big Ten play. I don't know that he's going to be fired, but I think it's a name that you'd obviously jump on if he became available. Let's get to Mike. You're next up. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good.
Hey, I think Coach Moore needs to mature a little bit, but I think, like offense-wise, I think we ran like JV high school numbers as far as, you know, 63 yards passing, you know, one guy does it all kind of, and you can't be a top 25 team and do that, you know, in today's game, especially with, you know, NIL money.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously they weren't a top 25 team and they couldn't score as they needed to. Mike, you got anybody you got your eye on?
No, I just, you know what I mean? I think, like, the Indiana game is a game they might have won.
Yeah.
I think he would have had just slightly better play calling.
That's one that I felt like their defense really stepped up. They got pressure on Indiana's quarterback. They had a chance if they could have finished in the red zone or gone for it on some fourth downs. And maybe they just didn't have the personnel, but I don't think they tried either. John, I think a key question will be moving forward, right? Sharon has the bumps and the bruises from year one. What does he learn from it? What type of coordinator does he hire? How are they able to set a young quarterback up for success? Because I don't know what the expectation is for next year, John, but it's not 7 wins. Michigan is a team that should be flirting with the playoff and making the playoff most seasons. Is that something they can do in one offseason? I would argue in today's college football with the transfer portal, yes is the answer. So if next year we're sitting here going, golly gee, they won 8 games, 9 games, that's not going to be good enough for Sharon in year two.
No, it's not. And that's why the portal this time of the year is going to be huge for Sharon Moore. I don't know that the clock necessarily starts. I think it's been ticking. I'm not going to say that it starts now, but this is going to be 100% his class. And yes, he did have a hand in it before, but now this is, obviously he's recruited a quarterback. He's going to make this his class. He's also going to be fully responsible for the transfer portal. We could talk all we want about the timing of things last year. The portal this year is open from December 9 to December 28, unless you have a coaching change.
Yeah.
So he should be fully active at a number of different positions. And I'm going to throw another name out at you because, and this made me think too, and I mentioned it, not to you guys or not on air, because we had no idea if he was actually going to fire Kirk Campbell. When Mike Locksley's name was brought up, I think that would be a good offensive play caller but he's currently employed. There's also a coach who's currently employed that his seat is hot inside the Big Ten, Lincoln Riley. I don't know if USC moves on from him or not, but they have cycled through some quarterbacks. Things haven't turned out the way that I think he believed and USC certainly believed would happen after coming over from Oklahoma. And he brought Caleb Williams with him.
He's coached multiple Heisman Trophy winners. It'd be a home run of a home run of a home run hire. One, I don't know that he's going to get fired. And two, I don't think he would take an OC job. I think he would wait for a head coaching job.
Here's the only rationalization for it. We saw it with Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
That he was a head coach. And he even said, I just want to call plays. And yeah, he's still a part of recruiting, but all of the BS that goes on around college football, there's so much more of it that is laid on the head coach. Is Lincoln Riley in a position where, I mean, he's made a ton of money. He's going to be highly compensated if he's an offensive coordinator anywhere. Or does he just say, you know what, screw it. I don't want anything more to do with college football. If he is relieved of duty at USC, does he bolt for the NFL? I think we're entering an era where it's going to be very difficult to find really good college coaches that want to stay in the college game because of NIL, transfer portal, and everything that goes on and what a head coach has to do.
Some ticket texts. What you guys think of Sharon Moore and the decision to move on, and offensive coordinator, future of the program, all of that stuff. Texter says, I believe the offensive coordinator for Michigan got the shaft. Not his fault. They had little to nothing to work with.
I mean, there is an argument to be made.
But they should have been better than this.
I agree.
Texter says Underwood will only stay 1 year if they continue to run it every play. They're going to have to. Are glad to have him, though, signed Mike. You're going to need an offense that does fit your quarterback.
Right.
You're going to need to have a quarterback who throws the ball. You're going to have balance. You're going to have things that you were missing this year offensively.
And somebody that can develop that quarterback.
Texter says two of Michigan's losses were against two of Michigan's losses were to the current top two teams in a rebuild year where he's left with no quarterbacks. He did a great job and will get much better on the team.
Sharon, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the ones that you look at are the trip to Washington, Illinois, Indiana. You know, I mean, those are the ones you look at. And you can't ignore them.
Some of that is on Sharon. 248-539-9797. The other thing we want to talk about here. Yesterday, you guys may have been listening, we had J.B. Bickerstaff on, Pistons head coach. And we want them to be interesting. Mm-hmm. We've seen them take a step forward from the abyss of last year. But John, in a huge spot last night, biggest game they've played in years, they were down 20 the whole way. So what I want to ask Pistons fans, and we know we got football to do later in the show, but just a little pit stop on the Pistons. What do they have to do to win you over? Some of you may have waded your way down to the arena last night. Some of you may have watched them, put them on the big screen, said, I'm going to give them a chance, and you were thoroughly disgusted. Like, that was a waste of everybody's time. What do they have to do to get the casual sports fan in Detroit to care about them again? You guys can define that. 248-539-9797. John, we both watched last night. We both were giving them a chance, wanted to see, hey, it's Milwaukee. Maybe you don't win, but to not even be close.
Right.
That's to get run thing, out of the gym at home. I mean, that's painful.
Well, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Certain options. But anyway, in regards to the Pistons, I was intrigued last night, and I have not, in full disclosure, watched a lot of the Detroit Pistons. I've watched and reviewed some of the games, so we could obviously discuss them.
Yeah.
And enough to be able to actually do my job. But last night, I was more watching as a fan. And having talked to JB yesterday, knowing that they were 3-0 in pool play, and that if they won, they were actually going to move on. They were playing for something. And I was interested to see how they would respond, especially when we heard from Jimmy, hey, you put something on the line and these guys rise to the occasion.
Yikes.
And that's, I mean, maybe I was misled. Maybe I had higher hopes than I should have had. But I tuned in last night just as simply as a fan. And to then get to halftime and your opponent scored 78 points. Like, wow, like the defense was just non-existent.
And I've already seen people go, well, you don't understand, Milwaukee was red hot. Listen, they shot lights out.
There's no question.
But you gave them too many open looks. Mm-hmm. And they've got some stars, and they force you to collapse, but you gave up too many open looks. And even J.B. Bickerstaff, there's no excuse making after that, said we had too many blown coverages. We left them open too much. And he talked about this being a learning experience for a young team. It's just, it's painful because you got the wings on, and you know I like the wings. Yeah. I put them on the second screen. I gave the Pistons top billing yesterday. Hey, let's see what this team's made of. And it was this familiar feeling of, oh no, they're really bad still. They're still not worth your full attention right now. So what do they have to do? Like, I know we've talked about play-in. What do they have to do for people to care about this team in a meaningful way?
Win. And win in some meaningful games. They don't have to win them all. And, I mean, they did enough, obviously, to make me care last night. They won three games that were in the NBA Cup. And I don't really understand and follow the NBA Cup enough to know that much about it. But they were playing for something. And to just drop an egg like that.
They're a team that we're going to keep an eye on because they're one of our teams. This NBA Cup is kind of manufactured, right? But it was something. They cared about it. They were 3-0 in these cup games. Even if we on the outside go, these are obnoxious courts, this is a stupid gimmick, they had bought in, they were taking it seriously, they had won 3-0. So I took them seriously last night, and it appears I may have made a mistake.
Yeah, I think we did.
We did make that mistake. We'll get some of your thoughts. 248-539-9797. We've got those Lions tickets, by the way, that we just had a winner for. Greg, do we have that winner so I can pass that along to people?
I think he's talking to him right now.
He is talking to him right now. Yeah. Okay, so we've got our winner, but we'll move on from that. We'll take some of your Pistons thoughts. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, Heather here. Now, you might not think of yourself as a tech expert, but that doesn't mean you can't protect yourself from online scammers. And we all know these scams, those fake delivery texts, those urgent bank alerts. These scams can look incredibly convincing, but that's where McAfee Total Protection comes in. It's designed to make staying safe online simple, no tech skills required. With McAfee, you can confidently manage your finances, shop online, or even catch up on your favorite shows, knowing your devices, privacy, and identity are safer. And right now, there has never been a better time to act. Get up to 79% off award-winning protection during McAfee's Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. But don't wait. The sale ends today, December 4th, 2024. Visit McAfee.com/online protection to take advantage of this limited time offer. McAfee Total Protection, because protecting yourself shouldn't require being a tech expert. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Milwaukee wouldn't miss, and Detroit wouldn't defend him. Utter waste of everybody's time in the biggest game they've played in years. So we asked you the question. Hey, maybe you're starting to get hooked in, but that's a pretty emphatic sign that they aren't it. What do you need to see? 248-539-9797. Our Lions tickets. We have a winner. Kevin and Canton won a pair of tickets to see tomorrow's game against the Green Bay Packers. Included is a Lions VIP tailgate package at Eastern Market from the Bullseye Group. Go to the bullseyeeventgroup.com for tickets today. That's bullseyeeventgroup.com for that 3-hour tailgate. All you can eat, open bar before Lions game days. All right, John, what do people need to see to invest in this basketball team? They were 3-0 in group play, NBA Cup. Maybe it's gimmicky, but it was something they cared about, and maybe you cared about, and you got let down yesterday. So what is it going to take to build you back up to give a damn about this team? Texter says it's been an issue for a long time. They need a real superstar on the roster to get the common average sports fan engaged locally. So is that an indictment on Cade Cunningham?
Well, I don't think he's reached that level yet. Doesn't mean he can't, but he's certainly not there yet. Don't you agree?
I would agree. Turnovers are an issue. I see flashes of it. Like when I watch, like he can navigate screen and roll. He can get where he needs to.
What was it JB said yesterday? Like, you know, okay, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we need to see what is that we haven't seen.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Avoiding the mistakes.
What can he do?
Yeah, I know. Ticket Texter says, I didn't watch last night, but I've tuned in over the last couple weeks, and it's excruciating to see the turnover seemingly every other possession and too many wide open threes for good shooters. If they figure that out, they have a shot at being at least decent. You got it cleaned up. Texter says it's really simple. They need to be interesting,
not be on a regional network that I have to pay for yet again. He says, I'm not paying for an extra app, Chris in Fenton. A texter says, I need to see them go on a 7-10 game winning streak or win like 11 of 12 or something. Get within three or four, with three or four of them being against good teams. I need to see winning like that before I invest. They're just not good enough, Greg, in Detroit. So like sustained winning stretches. Not, hey, like even, okay, they lost last night. You go, okay, that's one night. They've lost, I think it's six of the last eight games. So I know they have more wins now this year than they had going into March last year, late February last year. But it's still not good. Like there's a clear distinction in being not terrible, not historically awful, but they are far from good right now.
And I am curious as to what is going to draw fans in. Is it simply watching a team that is better than they were last year? Well, at mission accomplished, they're better than they were last year. They're better coached. The players are, you know, the talent level is better. They brought in some experienced vets. But, you know, once you get used to them being better, and I don't know that anybody's necessarily there yet, but then what's going to be the next level? You're going to get frustrated at some point, and you're going to need more to get over that frustration.
How about cleaning up the turnover rate?
Yep.
That's got to happen going forward. They should be able to improve on not turning over the ball so much every game as the season goes on. If they don't, then to me, there's no growth and you'll never get better. I would say win total wise, I said this before the show, Jim thought this might be generous, but 35 wins. That's 35 and 47. That's avoiding 50 losses, and you deal with wherever that puts you in the East. And why I think that should be on the table is I think they're a young, growing team, and in the Eastern Conference, you should be able to win those, quote, NBA mail-in nights.
Yep.
I don't want this team mailing games late January, February, early March. That's when this team should be able to win some games, and it's important for future growth instead of being the team that has kind of
the flat lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's on Bickerstaff. That's a coach that's juggling an NBA locker room with young players and telling them, hey, there are nights where the other team's going to be packed in. They're going to be mailing it in, and you have to find a way to steal a couple of those wins. We'll get some phone calls in the mix. Ticket Texter says, I bought tickets yesterday. Total disappointment. Bucks hit 170 corner threes. No closeouts. What does Cade do well except turn the ball over? No heart last night. Dave in his car. Sean in Pontiac, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I was at the game last night. It was my fifth game of the season. You know, I have a lot of confidence in the team right now. You know, I know we've just gone like, what was it, 6-11 in the last few games. But you know, I have a lot of confidence in JB that he's, you know, doing the right thing to turn this team around, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for us. I know it's kind of tough-ish times right now for us, but I do have a lot of confidence in us.
Yeah, you're invested. You've been to a bunch of games.
Yeah, I have, and I'm always going to stay true to my team no matter what, but I'm really seeing big turnaround. So, you know, maybe we got to make some moves before the trade deadline. Think about a couple of guys that we might be able to get some good capital for or something like that, and just move on from there, you know, move forward.
I mean, there's only up from where they were last year.
Sure. It's a low bar.
But that's the problem. It's a low bar. And we thought the bar was low enough. Hey, can you win this big game in the NBA tournament? Yeah. And no, they were down 20 the whole way. Texter says, I feel like the Pistons are a better watch than the Wings. Pistons are on the upswing. The Wings are what they are. Meh. There is a staleness to what the Wings have going right now.
Yeah.
I think the Pistons are still the worst.
Expectations are much different for both teams.
I don't love comparing them. I mean, one is in year six. The expectations should be higher for the Red Wings. They are, to me, still the better team.
Yeah.
I think the Pistons are still the worst team in town. It's
not much of a stretch.
No. Anyway, let's get to Heather's news.
All right, so not only did people spend on Black Friday, they spent on Cyber Monday as well. In fact, Cyber Monday was the biggest online shopping day ever. People are ready to spend. U.S. consumers spent a total of $13.3 billion, up 7.3% from last year, which is pretty crazy. So over the 5 days from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday, known as Cyber Week, we spent a record $41.1 billion online overall. And they say, hey, if you missed out on those, you know, full week, basically, there's still going to be more deals out there. Like, maybe not the best deals you can find. The peak deals are gone, but there's still going to be deals all throughout December, so you can still get your hands on some good stuff. And they say the record was really set because people are shopping on their mobile devices.
Yep.
They're using their phone. And you know, I was thinking about it too. You know what I get suckered into is on your social media apps. I use Instagram the most. I always am getting little ads now on my pages as I'm looking through. I'm like, huh, that looks cool. I click on it and then I'm like, okay, I think I want that. And I'm buying these deals that I didn't even know I wanted. I'm buying them because they're such a great deal. And it's right there, yep, at my fingertips.
Easy.
My credit card's right here on my phone. I don't have to do anything. I'm just like, click, I'll buy that. It's crazy.
Are you done with your Christmas shopping?
I could be done, but I'm not.
But you know yourself and you're going
to
keep buying.
Yes, I need to stop. I need to be done with the kids because they have more than they could possibly right. need or want.
Well, that's the problem. You get done too early and then you're like, well, you see this or you see that.
And I've been hiding the gifts, right? And now I'm
sometimes
like, I need to go back and really like look at what I've already bought because I've bought a lot of things. I still need a couple other things, so I'm not quite done. But yes, I could be done for sure. An investigation is underway after a man was fatally struck by a semi-truck on the Southfield Freeway Tuesday afternoon on Detroit's west side. Detroit police were actually in the area. They were investigating an unrelated incident when they were flagged down regarding a suspicious man in the area. And when they tried to make contact with this guy, he jumped over the freeway fence and then ran across the southbound lanes. And that's when he was hit not only by a semi-truck, but also by another vehicle as well. This 44-year-old Detroit man was rushed to the hospital where, unfortunately, he was pronounced dead. The investigation is still underway. Taylor Decker clearly lost a bet to Aiden Hutchinson after the Michigan-Ohio State game. If you follow him on social media, you might have seen this. Hutchinson posted a picture on Instagram featuring Decker, who is an Ohio State product, wearing a 97 Michigan jersey plus the whole helmet, right? And he didn't look very thrilled about it at all. And he did comment on the post with three thumb down emojis. Oh, Stoney.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Britney Spears. What is going on? Britney Spears celebrated a milestone birthday on Monday. She turned five years old. In a pair of Instagram videos, Britney Spears said that she turned 5 years old on Monday. She also said she moved to Mexico and that the paparazzi films her in a way that makes her look like she's wearing a Jason mask from Friday the 13th. And like I said, there was more. And in fact, she wasn't turning 42 at all. She actually turned 43 on Monday.
Sometimes you lose count.
Part of me wants to just believe this is all just, it's just
an act,
right? Like you always say, like, I'm not turning 43. I just turned 20, right? Like, you, whatever. Like, it's a joke about how old you're turning.
But her history.
But then part of me thinks, oh, I hope she's
unwell.
Yes. It's hard to watch those posts. I follow her on social media, so I do see them. And it's hard to watch. And I hope that, I always say that she gets the help that she needs. But maybe it's all just an act and we're giving her attention. Who knows? Who knows?
It's Heather with
Poor Brittany.
The news. Poor Brittany.
Yeah.
All right. We got John Jansen's Power Surge next. The six best teams in the NFL this week, according to John Jansen, plus a bonus ranking. One of the big storylines in the NFL. John's going to give us some thoughts on that, too. It's 97.1.
We all know that Planet Fitness is the judgment-free zone. It's a squeaky clean gym. People love going there, and it's open all the time. Here's what maybe you didn't know. Right now, the Classic Card pricing is $15 a month, and every single membership, doesn't matter what level, includes fitness training at no extra cost. If you like what you see when you go there and you want the extra perks, you have the Planet Fitness Black Card membership, and they've got a great deal going on right now, dollar down. It includes a hydromassage, massage chairs, total body enhancement, and access to over 2,500 locations worldwide. So no matter if you travel or if you're just out of market, you can go to any of the Planet Fitnesses. You can also have unlimited guest privileges. So if you don't want to work out alone, which I don't, you can always take somebody with you. Like I mentioned, it's the judgment-free zone, and there's a number of different locations around town. And if you want to get in shape before the holidays, you want to make a resolution before the New Year's even gets here, you can find more information on planetfitness.com.
It's Ken Cal's call in overtime. Ken has since tweeted out, seeing it live, it looked like a penalty. I said the Wings got robbed. Seeing the replay, I'm not sure it was a penalty. I was fooled when the cat went down.
It happens.
Yeah, DeBrincat was grabbing a stick. He might have blown a tire. There was contact, but they were letting some stuff go in that overtime, and I wasn't up in arms about it. The Wings blew a third period lead, okay? I mean, they had their chances. Dylan Larkin had a breakaway in overtime. They had their chances.
Off the post.
Yeah. Anyway, we will get into the priorities of Detroit sports fans coming up at 9:35 this morning. I know people were focused on the Pistons last night. Oops. Red Wings, not much better. College hoops, maybe.
Yeah, starting Wolverines had a big win. Big Ten win.
Sure. Ticket Tech's pointing out, hey, so 7-footers hitting the portal, making a difference.
First one for Dusty May.
Yeah, and winning at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Nice win. We'll see if they can do it against Iowa on Saturday.
Some are saying Beeline 2.0.
Oh, could be.
Lions, when we've talked about these injuries, I've noticed a degree of concern even from you, and you are typically very optimistic about this football team, and we all are. They've won 10 in a row. But when I read you the latest injuries, I can just see it in your face. You're going, boy, they're going to be without some key players this week. Taylor Decker did not practice yesterday. You've talked how important he is. Yeah. And then along the defensive line, it's Onwuzurike, it's Pascal, it's DJ Reader. All did not practice yesterday, John.
Wait. Say what?
DJ Reader did not practice yesterday, John.
So, I mean, now you just come into a, okay, yes, they're going to be able to field 11, but the depth is just not going to be there. And how does Aaron Glenn put together a rotation of Za'Darius Smith, Aleem McNeil? I mean, does Broderick Martin get his first start?
Kind of has to by default, right?
Yeah, because you look at Miles Adams, Pat O'Connor, Jonah Williams. I mean, you're talking about guys that have been elevated from the practice squad, have been taken off other practice squads, or just haven't seen the field we saw in preseason. And now Dan Campbell said, hey, we've got football players and we're going to fill them in and we expect them to go out there and play. Okay, we I get all of that. They're going to field a team. I'm just not sure for four quarters they can hold up. Aleem McNeil is not going to play 100% of the plays. Broderick Martin surely isn't going to play 100% of the plays. Za'Darius Smith, we saw Muhammad, come in and play well, but you're all of a sudden asking those guys to do more. And then is it just that snowball, that domino effect where now they start to break down because instead of getting 50 snaps a game, they're getting 65 snaps or whatever the number might be. It's going to be more.
On some level, this was predictable based on how the schedule laid out, right? You go 13 straight weeks without a bye is the way the schedule sets up for the Lions. And the point where you'd expect the most fracturing, right, injuries would be, okay, hey, you got a quick week, Thanksgiving, and then you don't get your 10-day window. Like, this was always going to be the pressure point in the Lions season in terms of wear and tear and getting beat up. And they have to weather the storm this week. To your point, though, Green Bay, they're not idiots. They should try to run the ball at this defensive line, try to tire them out, wear them down, third quarter, fourth quarter. Detroit's going to try to do the same thing. It's going to be a tug of war. Detroit's offensive line and their offense is going to have to win the tug of war because for Green Bay, the matchup's easy. That's a beat-up front seven. Go on the road and take it to them.
Yeah, I mean, the goal for Green Bay is just going to simply be, hey, can we find a way to get up, and whether it's one score, two scores in the third quarter, and then just salt the clock away by running the football and wearing away a defense that has been worn away. It's that would be the game plan. Now, for the Lions, it's going to be offensively. this is where the onus is going to be. Offense and special teams. You're going to have to win those two of the three different phases, and you're going to have to win them by a large margin, because I'm not sure the defense is going to be able to hold up. And that's the cards you dealt. That's what you're playing with. And now you've got to find a way to go out there and get points. And is the pressure to get points on every possession? I mean, is this another one where we can't see Jack Fox? Or if we do, it's good. Jack Fox, obviously part of that third phase, is going to have to be as good as he's ever been. It's going to have to be the coffin corner kick. Hey, there's no return. Or it's the ball rolls down to the 1 or the 2 yard line and make them go the length of the field. You'd like to see that every time, but it's going to be a heightened sense of awareness and importance as you go into Thursday night's game.
Two things stand out to me. We'll do more of this obviously tomorrow on game day. But two things stand out to me if the Lions are going to win this game. One, you said points on all or most drives. I also think they have to be long drives.
Yeah.
They need to be
time consuming.
Yeah, 8 plays, 10 plays, 12 plays. Because now the defense, which you don't want naps because they're depleted, can catch their breath. So it has to be scoring drives, but long scoring drives would be a huge key. And then the second one is turnovers. How do you get a tired defense off the field? You rip the ball out. And what does this defense still have? You start looking at the injury report, you start looking at too deep, and you see all the red lines for question mark and questionable and IR. They still have their safety duo. They still have Branch. They still have Joseph. They're going to come downhill. They're going to make plays on the football. They're going to try to take it away via interception, force fumble. You're going to need a takeaway. Carlton Davis, good news. Fully participated at practice yesterday.
Yep.
You're going to need a takeaway. Jordan Love's good for it. When he throws it to you, catch it, secure it, and then go on an 8-play drive, a 10-play drive, a time-consuming touchdown drive. If you pair those two things together, you will survive what it
is. Survive.
If you do those things, you will survive. If you get turnovers and possess the football, you will win this game at home, and you'll do it without your full complement on defense. If you don't do those things, it's going to be a sweat, and you might lose, and this could be a key loss in the race for the one seed, which is why, for everybody who said last week, so boring. Hey guys, I got
news
for
you. Ask for.
I got news for you. You'll be sweating on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, this is why the NFL every single week is so exciting. And this is why when you make a prediction of 14-3, or you adjust it and you go to 15-2, and some people have even said 16-1, why it's so difficult to do. You do need some luck. And some of that luck can come in, you know, the way the ball bounces. And all of a sudden, hey, you win a game maybe you shouldn't have won just because the ball bounced your way. Or it's you're just able to stay healthier than other teams. It just, hey, you're dealt with certain, you know, set of cards throughout the course of the season, and you've got to find a way. And that's the way Dan Campbell has approached it. He hasn't shied away and said, oh, no, I have no idea what we're going to do in this game. No, they're putting together a game plan where they believe they're going to win this game.
So what do we want to know from Lions fans? Concern level?
Yeah, I want to know, are you concerned about the Green Bay Packers? We know, even when healthy last year, this is a team that went to Green Bay and won, and then Green Bay came in here on Thanksgiving Day and put it on the Lions.
I put a number on it, 1 to 10. We'll do it next, 97.1.